Good morning. I'm going to try something a little bit different this morning. In some ways, it's in the spirit of my doctorate of ministry program, although that's a whole nother sermon. It is just in the spirit of it. But also, this morning has sort of been a lot of difference, a lot of changes. I mean, I even made Hal dance to "You Are My Sunshine" this morning. And he wasn't, you moved a little bit. I mean, yeah, that's true. We're working on embodiment. So take a deep breath. Feel your lungs expand. There is nothing in this world closer to you than breath. And here's a wild fact. According to Sam Keen, author of the book Caesar's Last Breath, it takes about 2 years for molecules in a single breath to be redistributed across the globe. And astonishingly, the breath you just took includes at least one molecule of every breath ever taken before 2021, 2 years ago. You just breathed the same air that was Julius Caesar's last breath, the same air that carried your own first cries as a newborn, the same air that Ezekiel exhaled as God asked him to breathe spirit into the dry bones. The breath. In our story this morning, breath creates. But breath did not create something brand new. The breath did not bear fruits or birth something original. God put their breath into something that already existed and brought life. This morning has been a big morning for Plymouth. I mean, we have a lot to celebrate here. At 9 a.m., we confirmed 3 young people into this community. And in the weeks and months before their confirmation, they asked all sorts of questions, like, where have there been God sightings in your life? Or what spiritual practices have been meaningful to you? I mean, you have to watch it, because some of these statements of beliefs were like ordination papers. It was quite amazing. Brooklyn, where's Brooklyn? We're just going to do a shout out. She did amazing. These questions require no right or wrong answer, but rather the process of spirit moving and breathing and perhaps transforming their already young minds and hearts into something that will bring life in new ways. In this service, we just commissioned a group of 12 or so ministers we call deacons to the ministry of, what did you say, Hal?
Spiritual
well-being of the congregation. What I see often is the ministry to worship and ritual, because they do all kinds of things in this space. And then we will gather with a group of 15 or so inquiring new members after this service. They too are considering questions. Do I have time in my already busy life? Do I have the resources to give to community in a renewed way? So, are you ready? We are going to engage in the same spiritual practice this morning in community. So I want you to bear with me. In the spirit of questions being the conduit to Spirit's breath, we will ask questions of all of you here today too. And I hope you consider being in a little conversation with me around that. So as we think about this sacred text of the dry bones that we just heard, the imagery was remarkable, wasn't it? Those dry bones represented once a vibrant and active Israel. And now they're not. It's not a vibrant and active Israel anymore. What are the first images that come to you from your own life? What are the things that you think of when you think of that text? Yeah, it's true. I want to hear from all of you. I want this to be a place of shared wisdom. I'm not the only one who knows all the things about the biblical text. What do you guys think?
There's a place in line of faith for me that's very popular in my kids' book, where they go to the place, you guys are not in this, and they see all the dry bones. And it's just very sad, it's very dark.
So we are thinking about the Lion King, and they go to a place and in a scene with a bunch of elephant bones, and it's very dry and dismal and hard and sad. What else do we think about?
Think about the spiritual, the dry bones.
Oh, them dry bones, those dry bones. Maybe Mark will like start playing that real quick for us. No, Mark doesn't do that real quick. No, he's not going to do that.
The imagery of the settling graveyard, especially in the field, reminds me of like a loss of faith in the bones world, right? So and now they're not anymore. So it's like people who had great faith or had living faith, and now they've sort of lost it.
Yeah, that's awesome. So he said that it was a people who once might have had some faith, but now there is a loss of faith. It's not there anymore. So you kind of get glimpses of, yes, there used to be something vibrant and amazing, but now it's not there anymore. So in this story, the Israelites have lost their land. They have lost their temple and their monarchy. And the dry bones are a metaphor for the whole house of Israel. In verse 11, that is what it says. God announced through the prophet that Israel will be restored to her land, even though this seemed impossible in light of Israel's condition. She was a dead nation. I have often used this imagery in this text for my own individual spiritual development. It brought comfort to me and was a resource that I used to find some resiliency, to look at that prophet Ezekiel and be like, okay, I can do that. And that was sort of the individualistic understanding of the story. But today, I want us to consider this story in more of a communal sense, like the communal highs and lows, the societal highs and lows. I want us to consider breathing the life of the Spirit into something that once excited us as a community and a society, but no longer functions like those dry bones. Breathing new life into something old, into tradition, into history, those things that were so great and we remember but they're dead, can be like that marketing term from the United Church of Christ, God is still speaking, right? It honors what was once, puts a comma, and like, okay, God is still speaking. So even after all of those dry and dead bones lay in the valley, God says, wait, I'm not done. I still have things to say. I still have work to do with what Israel was. As long as there is breath, there is the possibility for something new. So what about our community? What about Plymouth, Fort Collins, our wider society that once functioned, but may be a little stagnant, may be a little dry, or is dying, could use a renewed breath of life and spirit? It's a hard one. Yes. What did you say?
Civil discourse.
Yep, that's a good one. Civil discourse, yeah.
Well, the amazing thing is that the bones came together, but even more amazing is that flesh came on.
Yes.
Well, we have something to do with flesh coming on our bones. So maybe we should eat the right food.
Eating the right foods. Yes, that's a good one.
Spiritual foods.
Yeah. I mean, both, really, right? Yes. So, Hal has one. I love it.
One of the things that I kept thinking about when you posed that question was what Robert Putnam, the sociologist and political scientist, calls social capital. People being involved in community organizations, being involved in local churches. He wrote a book called Bowling Alone. And the claim is there are more people bowling than ever, but they're not bowling in bowling leagues. They're bowling alone. So that's something that I
miss. Social capital, yes. That kind of communal understanding. And that's why I wanted us to look at this text in this way, not just as individual renewal, but as communal renewal. Breath for all of us is something that we share without even trying. If we are here today, we have breath, and it is moving among us and being transferred back and forth, redistributed from just a single breath. I know that breathing has been scary these past few years, and I too have felt a little anxious to share my breath. We experienced a dry bone season with COVID-19. Many parts of our communities died. Breath as a metaphor for God and spirit is something that is not to be feared but embraced. But I want breathing to be like the sun. The sun shines and makes a difference without even trying. May we be in a world with nothing to prove, but simply be the work of God. Ezekiel's breath became the mouthpiece of prophetic reason, truth-telling, and inspiration for God's people. These verses are beautifully put together and often provide comfort for us today. The image has been crafted into great art pieces, musical lyrics, them bones, them dry bones. But I'm willing to bet that Ezekiel's vision for a new world felt impossible to the people of the ancient world. Breathing life into bones that have long died is hard and painful and excruciating. Some of those bones may come to life while others are left to return to the earth. From dust we come, to dust we shall return. And that's okay. 3 years ago, on this Sunday, we were in lockdown, and I was using this text from home on a video worship. Breath was only shared among our whole household members. Breath became reverent in a different way. And almost 3 years ago, most of us were careful about our breath, wearing masks and keeping our distance. People also died, and so did some things that were once life-giving. The way we did church died. The way we gathered in our local community died. The way we related to each other died. It felt just like the experience we read in this verse 1. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and she brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. And then, a few months later, in June, George Floyd's breath was taken, and God's breath began to move among us and within those that rallied for Floyd and the Black community. These past few weeks, I've had several conversations about anti-racist work with people in the community, in this community, in this church. The conversations have been the breath of God working within a valley of dry bones. This work on racism began when the slaves were freed, and again with the great Martin Luther King Jr. and Howard Thurman and Rosa Parks, and yet we still find a valley of dry bones. The word of Ezekiel has rung more true to me in these last few years than ever before. Knowing that there are many methodologies and books and resources for anti-racist work, I know that some of you have done that work. I know that some of you have read books and done classes. So recently, I had conversations with people of color on the podcast that I co-host, Jesus Has Left the Building, and we have asked the questions about dismantling white supremacy and rebuilding. And we have asked, what should we do? Let the dry bones return to the earth and dismantle everything, or work within the systems and try to breathe new life in it? There is no easy answer. Dismantling is such a harsh and violent word. I imagine a child crashing down a tower of blocks. The sound and mess are painful. And maybe that is what we need. Though I'm not convinced that a model like that will work. So I think of God in these Hebrew texts who left the dead remains of her people and then used those remains to build something new. So in my conversations with these people, I used the metaphor of IKEA furniture. I did, if you listen. The parts come to your doorstep and they're completely apart. I mean, it's like a skeleton, only it's all in different parts, right? And then you slowly and steadily build the skeleton with a small Allen wrench. And there's often all kinds of mistakes, especially when I do it. When I thought of the dry bones, and I thought of Ezekiel's prophetic voice, I wondered about the breath of God breathing new life into our oppressive and racist structures that are skeletons laying bare in the desert. And I wondered if we as a society and in our local and national communities are in a dry bones moment. I wondered what the life-renewing breath of God would look like for us at Plymouth, and where we might find new hope and new life in ways we couldn't possibly imagine, like Ezekiel. So I ask, what does hope look like to you right now? What can be raised from the dead, something old, but in a renewed way? And what is God speaking to you as God spoke to Ezekiel? I know I didn't come down off the steps, but I actually am asking the question still. Well, what I would like you to do is sort of think on that, because this is the hopeful part of the sermon. And let me know. I want to know, what are some things? Where are you finding hope? Where should we breathe new life? What does that look like? Womanist scholar, the great Bell Hooks, said, "Rarely, if ever, are any of us healed in isolation. Healing is an act of communion." The sacred text is about looking at the old, the most old and ancient, what has gone before us, tradition and history, things that perhaps died long ago, and finding new breath and new life. So let's take that wisdom, that love, the commitment, and make something new, or let them be dust from where they come to where they will return. Amen, my friends.